Welcome to Building Dreams, an insider's guide to home building with Timberblock. I'm Penny Carrick.
And I'm Curtis McCurry.
Thank you for listening.
Well, hello and welcome. It's good to see you again, Penny. It's been a while.
Oh, it sure has, Curtis. I'm so excited to be here. It's been, a couple of months, actually. And there's been a lot of things going on with you, for sure. And last time we got together, we were talking about what your next step was as far as where you were traveling and all your, where you were off to. And you were at IBS was probably your big thing. How was IBS?
It was incredible. I mean, it was incredible. It was nonstop. And there were, just overwhelming almost to have so many different activities and leaders and ideas and people there that are excited about the future of our industry. So if anyone has not ever attended and had an inkling in the back of their mind that it's something that they wanted to do someday, I would highly recommend it. One of the people that I was able to connect with, we actually have it as a guest today on our program. So that was awesome catching up. And we're just excited to be able to share him with some of our viewers.
Right. And so I have met our special guest before, and we chatted a little bit, and he's full of knowledge, and I'm super excited. I think this is going to be an excellent episode of Building Dreams. So, Curtis, I'm going to let you talk all about who Todd Warshower is.
Great. So Todd is a friend and colleague. He and I have known each other for a long time. And again, we were able to reconnect and at IBS and spend some time together. And it was just fantastic being able to kind of pick his brain and see how things are going. And just as an introduction for some of our listeners, Todd is a leader in our industry. He's an innovator in the housing industry. He's got 20 plus years of experience with really some of the biggest companies in North America, and has transitioned from a hands-on sales professional to leading teams all across, from regional teams to national teams for some of the industry's biggest players, and with a very special emphasis on active adult lifestyle and a very special experience in that area of our business. And recently, Todd has founded his own company, Active Adult Consultants, and really have a mission of being a company dedicated to helping companies achieve success in the active adult market. So he has spent a lot of time studying the industry and the ins and outs of what an active adult buyer is and what they're looking for. Highly sought after speaker and trainer for sales teams all across North America. So we are super excited to be able to have him on our team. So Todd, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Wow, that was a great introduction. I don't even know if I need to add anything to that. Normally I have to add some fluff, but you did a great job. So thank you for having me. Great to see you again. It was awesome to see you at IBS. And Penny, I've enjoyed getting to know you in the brief time we've connected. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, we are definitely excited to have you. And I think this is going to be a really great thing for our listeners to learn all about the differences, and there's some definition here in all of this. And so we want to talk a little bit about, Curtis did talk a little bit about your background, but let's talk about how you all started. How did it all start with you? How did you get into, the business in general?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I started back in 2001 as a college recruit out of University of Wisconsin. Go Badgers. Shameless plug for the Badgers there. I went to a career night and Pulte Homes was there and I didn't know much about it and had a great experience. Presentation was awesome by four leaders out of the Illinois division, and had an interview the next day and got hired as a new home sales consultant in the Chicago division, and was off to the races as a 23-year-old kid in new home sales and real estate. So that's really how I got started. And that was, like I said, 2001. So well over 20 years ago now. So it's been a fun ride.
Todd, okay. From that point, when you first got hired, What did you envision for your future? I mean, is it something that you were 100% sold on that you wanted to be in the housing industry, or how did that develop from that
You know,
first?
I did. That's a great question. I didn't. I don't think I had much of a vision yet at 23, other than I was a bar manager for 5 years in college and had a great experience doing that, and always loved connecting with people, especially at Wisconsin, a sports. You see so many people coming in and out of the university, and my dad and his background was in sales, and so not that there was a lot of sales tutelage shared with me at an early age, but I just enjoyed connecting with people. I like to I'm an energetic person, and so I think sales kind of made sense naturally, and we would see how it goes. So, and new home sales was something that I was unsure about. I knew some things about general real estate, just from basic knowledge, not being in the industry at all, but just some basic knowledge. I've seen yard signs go up around my neighborhood when I was growing up, but new home sales was something new, and so thought trying it out, and so see how it would go.
So how does it differ from then until now?
I think when I started with sales, it was much more, I would say, product centric in terms of product selling, transactional. And I think over the course of the last 20 years, it's moved in the direction of much more of a customer centric style selling, where it's less about the product. I mean, the product is important, of course, but it's more about solutions and solving the problem that our customers, wherever community they come in and whatever they're looking for, there's a problem that they have that they need to solve. And as a sales professional, I think the best salespeople are the best, are curious, the best listeners, and are really good problem solvers.
You took all of that and this all of this experience and all that, and clearly just like listening to you talk about, you going from there to there and how things progressed with you, it was obviously very clear that you were one day going to go and be your own entrepreneur and start your own, and that's what you've done.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like Curtis mentioned, my first half of my career was in new home sales as a sales consultant, sales manager, and then eventually as a manager and VP for some of the larger builders that were out there. And then the last 10 years, I spent time with a startup at 55places.com, which was basically the hotels.com of active adult communities. It was an objective website that featured, communities, reviews, photos, information about active adult communities. And so I saw the whole startup process, the tech scene of really how you can, be a benefit and a value to consumers in their research process for new homes, whether it be new construction or resale. And I think over time, what has changed too, to go back to that, is the automation and how much information a consumer has today before they even come to your website or before they, walk into your sales office or talk to any sales professionals. They've got a lot of information that they didn't have before.
So we're talking about the, and you're talking about the active adult and the 55 plus and all of that. And to get into the all of that, let's define the active adult and the 55 plus community.
Sure. Yeah. So I think when you think of the term active adult, if you're in builder jargon a little bit, it thinks about a community that has, homes and amenities and a lifestyle that appeal to the more active adult. And what that may include is, it could be a pool, it could be a clubhouse, indoor, outdoor pools, pickleball, craft studios, could be outdoor living areas, garden clubs, dog parks, walking trails. And so, that's kind of what, when you think of a true active adult community, those are some of the things that come to mind. But, you take yourself out of the community aspect, an active adult could be someone that's looking for age restricted, could be looking community, could be someone who's just looking for a more active lifestyle. And that could be in a community, it could not be in a community. Could just be because it's an active area of the country that they want to be part of, that they have don't experience to what they have now. And so truly, it's just someone that wants to maintain an active lifestyle into, their next phase of their life, their later years, so to speak. But, as you get into 55, 60, 65, they want to maintain that active nature and that's that can be in a community, it can be without a community too.
Yeah, and I like that you're defining that clearly, because in my mind, that's probably where I would go into that more, you know, oh, what does that mean? At this age, boom, this is what's going to happen. And this is what I, but it's not necessarily that. It's a variety of things. So defining that is certainly very important. And it's important to know what level and where people are at and where they're going and how much they've thought about things and, you know, all of that stuff. Curtis and I were chatting a little bit earlier, and it's, you know, I mean, life is so busy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, all through your whole entire life, you're busy doing this, then you have kids that, and then, you know, they're off, they go to college, and you're like, whoa, maybe you have been planning for that whole time. And maybe you're like, oh my gosh, kind of me right now. It's like, oh, whoops. All of a sudden, you know, the child's gone to college and I'm sitting here going, oh no. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you think about, you know, that next phase, so to speak, you know, I'm 46. So the next 10, 15 years, I'll be in the active adult area. And, you know, my kids are 11 and 9 right now. So sometimes I think about, like, I've got like 8 more summers or 8 more spring breaks. And right now, like, my wife and I have started thinking about, like, what's next? You know, if our kids go to college and they move out, where do we want to go? Do we want to stay here in the Midwest where we've got some family? Do we want to go East Coast, West Coast? Do we want to just get a condo where our kids are in college? Because they would love that, I'm sure, each one of them. You know, so we try to start thinking about that. And I think that's, you know, when you get into the, you know, the 40s area where I'm at right now, a lot of that is the imagination. You know, they're starting to imagine what might be next. And so I think that's a lot of where people's research starts, in those 5 to 15 years before they get to a traditional active adult lifestyle or empty nesters like we hear sometimes. So there's,
let
that's
me clarify. Let me clarify here. Actually, I'm not aging myself just quite yet. I'm still in my 40s. So, but exactly that, though. I mean, it is, though, this is when you start to think, because this is when you have, you know, maybe more of the means, or you're, you know, looking forward to what is next. What if you want to downsize? What if you do want to move into, I am, you know, a skier, or I am this, or, I mean, all of that. I am going to be an active adult for sure when I'm 80. I know this for a fact. So now is the time to start thinking about all of that stuff.
Oh yeah. And it's not always about downsizing too. It's about right-sizing. The amount of people that leave their current home that they've lived in for 20, 30 years and go bigger is increasing year after year, just because, you know, how the homes are built today, how they want to use that home, you know, how they want to live in that home is important. And that's not always smaller. Sometimes that's bigger. Sometimes it's, you know, right sizing it. And so, you know, I always joke, you know, with some people I talk with, I always like to think about, you know, what excites me most about being 55 or 60. And I know I'm not there right now, but I think about what excites me most about that. And I realize that that is not too far away, and it makes me like get excited for what's next and imagining that phase. And it also, as a sales professional, allows me to empathize more with my customers and be able to help them along that process or that journey that they're on, you know, even if they're 15, 20 years older than I am.
Todd, was there an aha moment for you? Because when you and I worked together, that was not, you know, that the active adult lifestyle wasn't really a focus of what we were doing at the time. We were navigating the Great Recession and coming out of it, and working hard, and was very successful at that. Learned a lot of lessons from that time, but it wasn't necessarily a focus. Was there an aha moment for you where you realized that this is a really huge opportunity and a growing market?
Yeah, I think it started, you know, early on in my career when I worked for Pulte Homes and Del Webb, you know, and got connected into the foundational skills of working with the active adult buyer, you know, and that really allowed me to understand lifestyle selling a lot better, because regardless of the demographic you're in, if it's a first-time buyer, if it's a move-up buyer, if you're buying your second, third home, if you're buying your last home, it's still about lifestyle. Just everybody's experiencing that lifestyle differently. And so I think lifestyle selling skills in my early career, even though it was kind of like you thought I put a pin in it from truly just working with the active adult buyers, that I continued to progress until the last 10 years after we got out of the recession, where, you know, the baby boomer population was really getting into the market and buying a lot more homes. They were more insulated from interest rates, more, you know, cash buyer option, even though there's a lot of folks that use a mortgage, some are cash. So, you know, I think when I got, you know, 2014, 2013, when I got involved with 55places.com, that was really like, all right, some of the skills and the foundation learning that I've had in the past, now I can really take off and help build some teams, help some customers along the way.
What market conditions have, and you mentioned some of them just now, but like what in general, what general market conditions have contributed to this being such a huge buying force right now in our market and a focus, you know, of growth where there's not much growth in our, you know, in the industry overall, but this continues to be an area of where there's a lot of buying power for that age group.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's 101 million of the total U.S. population today, about 101 million people are over 55. That's going to go up to 114 million in the next 10 years. You know, 55 plus households are almost 70% of the wealth in this country, hold the wealth in the country. And, you know, it's at the end of the day, too, it's a discretionary purchase for them. So they don't have to move. They want to move. It's a lifestyle choice. So the strength of the active adult market or the 55 plus market in terms of real estate is overwhelming, especially when you think of the word retirement, which I don't like to use retire too much because it's just, it's what's next. There's a lot of myths associated with retirement, like slowing down, relax. That's not the case. A lot of people like to be 55 plus, 60 plus and still work because that provides so much more joy in their life. And so retirement, I think, is just a, you know, it's a phrase that is understood. So I don't want to minimize it's understood, but it's one that, you know, when working with the active adult buyer, there's so much power and strength that the market that buyer has in what they can do in real estate, from selling their current homes to buying in communities, to buying in communities, to purchasing custom homes, whatever it may be. So it's not going away anytime soon.
I hear you use the word lifestyle a lot. And yeah. So clearly, yeah, it is all about the lifestyle. So do you come across a lot of, you know, people in this category that are, you know, thinking about this, but they're at different stages, and how, you know, what questions do, you know, you have to ask or do they have to think about in order to help those different stages, if sure. That makes sense?
Yeah, no, I think a great, you know, what's helped me out best in my career and like some of the things that I've learned along the way, you know, if I could bucket them in just three buckets, it's authenticity, compassion, and curiosity. And those three traits, those three skills, so to speak, you know, allow you to work with any buyer, but even much more with the active adult buyer who, you know, you mentioned lifestyle. You know, the traditional lifestyle selling is, of course, social calendar, amenities, master plan community. That's what a lot of us think about. But that might be not the top priority of the active adult buyer. You know, the two top priorities in my mind of the active adult buyer, the first one is health and wellness. That's the most critical thing that they're focused on from 55 on, because they have to bridge the gap between you know, us, all of us as Americans living longer, there's a lifespan and there's a health span.
Right.
And making sure that those are in sync as long as they can is the most important factor in a lot of their decision-making process. The second most important is family. It's the most emotional attachment to what an active adult is looking at. It'll help define them to what they're doing in you know, the next stage of their life, either moving away from family, more often not the case, but moving closer to family, or how will family be involved in how they live, their home, how they welcome people into their home, hosting holidays, all the little things. But those two things that I just talked about really have nothing to do with social calendar, amenities, and the swimming pool at a master plan community. Okay. They're important, but the other two factors, health and wellness and family, that's where lifestyle really gets into effect. And if you understand that, are curious enough to find out about what's missing in their current situation or what they want to change, I guarantee those two things are right at the top of the list.
I talk to a lot of our homeowners, like Timberblock homeowners, And that is exactly what they're doing, right? They are thinking about their family, and they, and every time I interview a homeowner, that's almost all of them. It's okay, you know, I have grandchildren here. I've got these pets, and they add on to pets, but I've got this, you know, their families are growing, and they want to, they're thinking about the Christmas and the this and the rooms for this and all of that. I mean, that is a really huge chunk of their focus for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, we
100%. Go ahead, Curtis.
No, sorry. Yeah, I was going to say, just to confirm what you were saying, at Timberblock, we do a custom building. So every plan is pretty much custom. And the majority of our clients are in that demographic. And it's really interesting when you sit down, and even if you have a jumping off place for a plan that's already created, we still allow customizations. And the things that are really interesting to people at that stage of life translates across the board. Like they're really, we try to put them in the space on a 2D plan as we're going through this to say, okay, how are you opening these doors, or how are you getting access? And the thought of them, not just for things about the future as far as their health and having, you know, areas to be able to get a wheelchair through and things like that. That's not it. It's about how they're going to use those spaces and how they envision their life moving forward. Are they going to have their grandkids up? If so, I might not need a tub, but I need to have a tub for my grandchild, you know, to give them a bath. It's those little things that are really important for clients. And you think, you know, I used to tell people all the time that the foundation could fall off the back of the house and nobody would see it, but they're going to see a nail pop when you go through because it's all cosmetic. But at this stage in life, you really talk about, they really are concerned about functionality. And I think that is helpful for all of us to understand that, you know, these people have been active. Like you said, Penny, I'm in that age group, you know, I'm bumping up against it. And it's true what you say, that we live most of our lives with blinders on to the future, that part of the future anyway, because we are actively, you know, building our lives, building our careers, building our families. But there comes a point in time where you really have to take some time and think about how you want to live your life moving forward, because we are going to live longer, hopefully. So as you look back on it, Todd, and kind of, you know, and see that as a reality, are there certain things that you have found in your experience that are common as far as features or attitudes, anything between the groups that kind of translate no matter where they want to live or where they want to go?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, when a customer is looking at, you know, many different options, you know, there's, you know, you always look at how you can differentiate yourself, and they're looking to, you know, differentiate different builders, different communities, different options for their home. Right. And so, you know, there's holistic features, which are just table stakes everybody has. And in a lot of active adult communities, there's much more universal design, zero entry, zero showers. Those are all important and they need to be highlighted. But then there's like comparable differentiators of like, what do other competitors in your space may do? And then what do you do better than them, right? And then there's like the unique ones. And this is where truly, I think as a customer, I'm more concerned about or curious about is what is so unique about Timberblock or Del Webb or any other community that nobody else has. And I think that is what helps differentiate a lot of builders out there, is they can really highlight that as a benefit to the customer's situation. And, you know, you used the word a little bit ago, Curtis, multiple times, and I just wanted to highlight that again, is the word how. So many people in real estate or sales professionals or companies focus on the what they build or where they live, all that stuff. And those are all important, yes, and you get to those. But it's truly like how someone will live in that home. How will they live in that community, whether it's just a community or a town or an actual master plan community, you know, how will I live here is very important, because that's a sense of pride for them too. And then you get into the what and the where, but there's something missing in their current situation. You figure out the why for that, You just ask good questions, be a good listener, and you'll realize how, frankly, easy it is to help them find the solution that's right for them. And it may not be you, but you'll know early on if it's the right solution for you. And if it is, then it's a great process. It's actually a lot easier process for both sides when you actually can dig deep and be curious about asking questions and find out that how.
Well, you know, and I mean, it's all about communication, right? I mean, across the board, it's how you're going to communicate. And that's why it is so important to start off with good communication. And do you have advice for our listeners on, like, just how to, where do they start in the whole process of that? And how do they determine the communication? And like, to even our listeners that may be in that category, or those that are helping them, you know, get to where they want to be.
Yeah, I think, you know, as I've worked with the active adult community and so many customers along the way, I think, you know, what's worked for me is just to avoid hyperbole, avoid the fluff. They want transparency. They want to keep it real. You know, a lot of them, I like to say too, is that's the handshake generation. They remember, you know, they like to look in someone's eyes and know that someone's being true to them. And so, you know, I like to say, you know, on both sides, but much more on my side working with customers, but they'll reciprocate if you treat them this way, is just be yourself, be honest, because trustworthiness is at in the real estate industry is always low, but it's even lower for new construction communities. It's higher for real estate agents, believe it or not. So you have, as a builder, you have in a company, you can build your trust in your brand. So be trustworthy, be consistent, be unbiased with what you say, just be direct, and be mindful of the moment that you're in with them. You know, because be present. You know, we always say be present. You think about your kids and your phone, but be mindful, and being mindful of the moments, just being a great listener and then asking questions. You know, working with this buyer, I'm all for them leading the way. Lead the way. You let me know where you want to go. Okay. I have a lot of things that I want to talk to you about, but I want to talk to you about them in your order. What's important to you? You know, because that's truly, you know, will help them along their process if you're letting them guide you where they want to go. And I think that's what makes a good listener and communication. And, you know, so many people on the communication, last thing I'll say is ask how they want to be communicated with. Most people think, oh, I'm going to call you 10 times over the next 30 days. Great. I'm going to answer the phone. I'm not going to answer the phone 10 times in the next 30 days. You know, you can easily say, hey, I'm going to send you an email with a lot of details. It's going to be overwhelming today. There's a lot of information. Tomorrow or the next day, I'll send you an email, a lot of details. We're both adults here. Follow up with me. Let me know if you receive that email. You know how to get a hold of me. It's one way to do it. All right. You can continue to follow up. But the more that you put the onus on them, they have all the information to reach out back to you. The follow-up process, the engagement, the relationship that will be built will be much stronger than any just automatic phone-a-thon, call-a-thon, things like that with buyers, because they're getting so many calls. They just want to make sure that, you know, there's a human on the other end that they've built a relationship with that inevitably they trust, and then they'll trust your company a lot more.
To me, what it sounds like is that there's really not an isolation of a particular age group, because the things that you're talking about translate across the board. If you want to be an effective communicator, whether you're selling a product or you're in a relationship, or, you know, you're coaching a youth sports team, it's still the same. The more questions you ask, you're controlling that conversation. So, and the more questions you ask, the more opportunity there is for engagement, right? And you find out the things that you can help someone with, right? And you can help that situation. That's really vital information. And it's something that I think we all forget from time to time, because, you know, we're experts at this point. We've all had long careers, and we've all are experts in our certain areas. And so when that topic comes up, no matter what it is, we want to make sure that everybody understands how much we know about it. But the truth of the matter is, people don't really care how much you know. They just want to know how much you care, right? I mean, that's really an accurate statement. And the way that they know how much you care is you've got to ask more questions. So I really like what you said, and that's not specific to 55 plus, in my opinion.
No, but it's
I do think that it goes both ways as well, right? Like
true.
Todd, I mean, for real. So if you are asking if, you know, it's communication is both ways. So being honest with the person asking the questions, I mean, it's only going to just, you know, be better from there and help that process.
Yeah. Well, and I think one of the biggest questions to ask too is helping at the beginning, setting expectations on both sides, you know, asking them, what do you want to accomplish today? You know, I mean, if you don't ask, I have this laundry list of things, as you said, Chris, I know everything. I'm just making that up. But as a builder, if I'm working for your company, I know it all about my company, the ins and outs. You may care about 20% of that today. What do you want to accomplish today? You know, because if I'm starting there with giving my time, you know, my time's free to them. Their time's expensive for coming here to see me or to call me, you know. So at the end of the day, you know, what do they want to accomplish? And I'll make sure that we structure the information exactly how, you know, what you want to accomplish and how much time you have to spend with me today. You know?
Yeah, and that's you're 100% right. And the other side of the coin, as Penny mentioned, is also true. If you're a buyer, if you're in an or in an age group where you're considering, you ask questions, right? Because you know it's a really important decision. You know, obviously, it's one of the largest financial decisions that you make in your life about where you want to live and how you want to live your life. So asking more questions. You control that situation as well. So, yeah, I don't think you can ask too many questions, right? I mean,
The
it's
more you know.
more, yeah, for sure on both sides.
Well, both sides, because let them give them permission, let them know, hey, ask as many questions, you
Right.
know, and to make yourself trustworthy, make sure, hey, make sure to ask about these things. You know, I'm going to ask you about this, but other things that you may want to ask me about are these things, you know. That's how it's like, holy cow, I never thought to ask you those. Yes, I do want to ask you those questions. You know, I think that's truly where that relationship starts and that trust can be built on both sides that you're doing what's in their best interest to help them make an informed decision.
So Todd, you've worked with so many active adult buyers in your lifetime, and you've seen the ones that were well prepared for this stage of their life, ready to move forward, and others maybe not so well prepared and were struggling, right, with their you know, choices they've made and had limited choices. Looking back on it now, what advice would you give to someone at a younger age? To prepare for this, because it all happens to everyone. Is there any key things that people can be looking out for now and kind of working towards?
I mean, a couple things. I mean, have fun with the imagination of it, of like I said, visioning, like what is it going to be like when you're 55 or 60? You know, where do you envision yourself? What excites you most about that? But also, like, I mean, the little things, get ducks in a row. I mean, the more you can declutter when you're in your 40s, the less you have to declutter when you're in your 50s, 60s. Get all your, you know, finances in a row. Get, you know, any trust you need to give, living wills, things like that that are just important that, you know, I've seen folks not have set up, and that can cause a lot of unnecessary stress when they're trying to think about what's next and have the joy and fulfillment of that. All the things I just talked about aren't very joyous. So get them out of the way early and often and talk about those things with your family a lot, both the younger generations, the older generation. Just make sure everybody's on the same page with that because it makes the next fit stage of your life with health, wellness, family, those two things that we talked about, much more enjoyable and easier to accomplish. Because moving out of their current home or moving into the next stage is stressful. So think about how you can minimize that stress because that will also lead to better health and wellness long term.
Very
Oh,
good.
that's excellent advice. Yeah.
Yeah, are there any areas of the country that you're seeing that are more prone or hot right now, or where those you know, is it area specific or state specific that you're seeing the most growth?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, the active adult community, there's folks that, you know, want to stay where they're at, and there's active adult communities that generate around there, and homes in other communities or building opportunities in those markets. But I mean, the Carolinas continue to be huge. Texas continues to be huge. I mean, a lot of people out west, Utah, Iowa, or Idaho area, Iowa maybe too, but are seeing some good improvements. And Florida's always hot, but pricing in Florida continues to go really, really high.
Yeah, any market predictions? I know you keep your pulse. I know you keep your pulse on the finger on the pulse of what's happening, and there's a lot of differences outside of our topic just a little bit, but I know that you keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening in our industry. Are there any predictions that you have moving forward as far as how the market is going to unfold in the next, I don't know, 6 months to 18 months possibly?
Wow, crystal ball moment you're asking for here. That's a good question. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that are trying to figure that out. And I've always taken the mindset, and this a lot of people may roll their eyes when they hear this, but it's always a good time to buy. And I say that in the sense that as it relates to your current situation, what's important to you? Okay. Because it's never a bad time to buy if it's right for you. And regardless of like where mortgage rates are, mid sevens to eight, wherever they are, I think we're getting into a higher interest rate area of 6, 7, 7.5, 8%, whatever it may be, versus the threes. There's a lot of people that have interest rates, regardless of their age, but especially the active adult area, that are in the three range, but still don't want to be in their house that they've lived in forever. And so I think we start seeing right now, and probably the next, you currently see some signs of it, but in the next 6 to 18 months, more inventory pops up, more people selling their home, more homes churning, more people migrating and moving to where they actually want to live and where they want to be. And I always say this too, is especially as it relates to the 55 plus market, is the amount of people that I've encountered at communities, whether it be new construction, general real estate, working with agents and their customers. One comment comes true: I wish I would have done this sooner. And so that's why I always say, go back to what I originally said, it's always a good time to buy if it's right for your situation. And so think about that. And and so I think a lot more of that thought process comes as the market stabilizes with where interest rates are, where stocks are. I think we've got an election coming up. Whatever side of the election on you're on, come January, February, there'll be consistency with what it is, and that'll help another buying spree, more clarity and consistency around that. So I'm always excited for what's next in terms of that. So I see the trends as positive and good as it relates to inventory, consistency with interest rates, regardless of where they're at, and then consistency with the known election results at the end of the year.
Well, Todd, I'll tell you, this has been fantastic. And I can say on behalf of Curtis and I, thank you so much for spending the time with us and having all this insight. I think that was absolutely fantastic. And I hope you've enjoyed being a part of our Building Dreams podcast as well. And if people want to talk with you or get to know more about you, where can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, easily. They can check out my website, which is activeadultconsultants.com. Fill out a contact form there. Happy to reach there. Or just email me directly. Simply, it's Todd at activeadultconsultants.com. And I'd be happy to connect on any, sales training needs or just any consulting needs or just to be a resource to talk active adult. And I'm always excited to do it, like hopefully I was and showed today.
Yeah, that
Absolutely.
was great. And we'll definitely have your email address and your website in our link in this podcast note. And of course, you can always listen to the Building Dreams podcast anywhere on Spotify and YouTube. And again, thank you so much. And thank you for listening. And thanks for being a part of it today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you.